Yeah, is it working now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, there's an informal meeting of the Human Resource Committee here. I guess I'm the only one from the Resource Committee, so we're going to tape it in case some of the other guys want to listen in. We have John Williams here, Roy Rickey. What is your name?
Dave Ingram.
Dave Ingram. He made a study of up-to dilutions. We've got Carl Moses here from Alaska. Go ahead, just say your names.
Roy Patterns, Jim.
So we'll tape this in case some of the Resource Committee want to listen to it and bring them up to what we discussed at the meeting. It's an informal meeting. Now, this is an important question I'd ask you to get so we get it on tape. To do anything with this Unalaska fishery or permits up there, you said it would have to come through legislation, John?
Yeah, the commission is specifically given the powers to assign the geographic areas in which a permit can be fished. But it's up to the Board of Fisheries to define what a fishery is. Well, under the board's management strategies, Area M had three fisheries in it, a set fishery, a drift gill net, and a seine fishery. And they described geographic areas. And the commission then came in behind the board and described those same geographic areas and limited those three fisheries there, combining beach and purse seine.
Now, you also said that by legislation, we could put an overlap area in for Unalaska, Yakutat, and the Coastal Atka.
With your powers, you could in fact do that. You could very easily do that. And there is a question that the commission might even be able to do it by its regulations. But what I said was that the commission would not do it by its regulations, especially at this point in time. It would be basically changing the rules of the fishing game. Well into the implementation of limited entry, and it's a really a political decision as to decide where equities lie in this case. From the hardship ranking system, once we've corrected some specific errors that Dave has identified in his work, I think we will have done a pretty good job of in fact ranking people according to the hardship they would realize by exclusion. Now, if the legislature wants to create a special circumstance and a special fishery for people who only fished on Alaska Island, for example, that's certainly your power, and we would leave it up to you to do that. I think the major consideration the commission would have about that, Al, is just that it has precedent that I guess we would consider to be adverse to the implementation of limited entry.
Now, John, what would stop it from opening it up to every crab fisherman that's up there from Seattle or any other place?
That's definitely one of the things you're going to have to address if you do this by legislation is the period of time in which we're talking about. What sort of fishing histories are we talking about here? I presume we'd go back through the 60s and that would be the big years, the people that didn't get them.
Well, wouldn't the commission set the criteria as to who would be eligible?
Well, let's see, your license operators who harvested the resource since statehood would be eligible. But things get complicated beyond that. Since 75, we've had interim permits out there. We've had people that have fished on interim permits that have since been denied. With their fishing history while they were on interim permits count from other people who didn't have those but did fish in the 60s and the early 70s. Did fish. I'm not saying this very well. If you go back to 1972, like the initial legislation did, and if you use the same point system, I guess you don't have any real problems. But if there's something legally wrong with that because that is so long in the past, do you have any feel on that, Dave? Do you think we could use the same point system?
Well, yeah, I think you probably could. If there were, by definition, you'd have to make some allowance for the no market situation. If you're going to carve out a sub-district for west of Unimak Pass.
Yeah, you could write special regulations that made particular years more important than others based upon the availability.
I can tell you this much. My first trip out there when I, and each time I'd get to a place, I'd broadcast over CB. I'm here, anybody want to talk to me, come on down. I'd carry a full kit of forms and information from the commission. The first time in Unalaska, I had upwards of a dozen what I'd call old-timers. And these are guys that were in their 50s and up who were interested. None of these, with the exception of maybe Steve McGlashan, who's, what, 45, 50? And the fellow that runs the store out there, Carl, your competitor.
Robinson.
Yeah.
Vern.
Vern Robinson. We're probably the two oldest guys that came before me for hearing. The rest were fairly young. But they'd been there back during that time. Okay. Other than that, I was approached by a steady stream of young guys that are crewing for the most part on crab boats that were interested.
Were they local people or people?
New, you know, they were new guys.
Okay. What would this create? So you've got a lot of young people that's living up in Unalaska now, what never fished during the time when we were fishing up there, like we have through King Cove, Falls Pass, Sandpoint, Chichnik, the whole coast, Kodiak, and the whole state. What were too young to get in on the point system? Now, if they wanted to get in Unalaska, how many permits are you looking at? Who would be qualified? I don't know, I had a figure somewhere around 20. And when I talked to you at the first time.
From Unalaska alone, I doubt if you'd hit any more than 20.
That's
based on the old point, the same point system.
That's the figure I'm looking at. Might put the question to you, Carl. How many do you think is up there looking for permits?
In Unalaska alone, I don't think there'd be over 20. You so might have a lot of them looking for permits, but I think
it's
the old point system.
You know, right? What we're going to run into here, and I think the commission is going to run into, if we're going to give the young people up there permits, and we're not going to give the young people in King Cove, Sandpoint, Chicken, and Kodiak permits, you're going to have a heck of a battle on your hand there. So
well,
if we're looking at the same number what we looked at 4 or 5 years ago, when this first started, why they don't qualify for a permit up there myself. I think they should qualify since we didn't have any processes up there, and what we're doing right now is making second-class citizens out of the old-timers. And I can't say anything for the young people because we've got that all over the state.
Of course, you take Accutan, they were left out completely because they didn't even get exposed to the tenders that would show up in Unalaska. They were over here in Accutan, of course, a smaller fishery.
I might point out, we didn't have, the reason I didn't make a trip to Accutan is because we didn't have any people who used Accutan as their home address in applying. There were some people from Accutan who had used to live in Accutan. For the most part, Steve's one. For the most part, who hang out in Unalaska most of the time these days. So everybody there, anyone that, to the best of my knowledge, anyone who at one time called Accutan home, who applied for a permit, used Unalaska as an address. So we contacted them through Unalaska.
It sounds like, from what I'm hearing, that even if we did do what we're talking about, creating an overlap sub-district, using the same basic point system with some modifications for market conditions, we might still have some problem areas that we're not addressing. The legislature might still have problem areas. For example, Accutan. Are you saying, Carl, there's basically not a commercial fishery around Accutan?
Well, even when the tenders would come out, they'd ignore Accutan because the biggest concentration of fish was in Unalaska.
Cushion.
So we still wouldn't have people from Accutan with commercial history.
No, unless you gave them credit for a barter system or fish camp or something like that.
Well, you're going to run into the same problem in Nikolsky and Atka. Like you said, they're fishing in Atka, fishing in Kodiak.
Yeah, well, as far as I could determine, there is not one file in Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission files where anyone using an Atka address applied and was denied. Those who did apply got their permits, and as I recall from my review of those files, they were all, almost all anyway, for the Kodiak area. The Atka fishermen come in and fish Kodiak.
From Atka.
From Atka.
Well, that was a matter of necessity. Atka is quite removed, and nothing ever gets out there.
Well, yeah, well, I'm sure.
They have fish out there. Not, by setting up a separate district, I think that fishery that's not being utilized now would be utilized.
But
particularly with processing
like
going into Onalaska and the Yakutat area.
Sounds like what you're thinking about, Carl, is just opening that fishery back up, like west of Unimac or something.
Yeah.
And let it open to entry again and let some people get some extra out there fishing.
Well, I think the people that were granted permits in Onalaska would develop that fishery. The ones that couldn't go to the peninsula area would have a tendency to go to the westward area. You know, there's fish all the way out there.
It's hard to predict who'd get into that fishery if you did open it.
Pardon?
It'd be hard to predict who would get into a fishery like that if you did open it. So what, a pig and a poke?
No. Nikolsky applied for a loan for a hatchery. So if they went and put a hatchery in there, then they could get a permit to harvest the fish.
You bet.
And that could be, the whole community could work on the hatchery and harvest the fish. That would be only what is in Nikolsky, so they would never permit to harvest any other place.
That's right.
See, the thing now is, a person has a permit for the peninsula area. He's not going to leave that area to go gamble on catching fish out to Atka or wherever, ADAC. He's not going to leave a sure thing to go develop an exploratory fishery. Whereas if you open up permits for the Onalaska area that couldn't go into the peninsula area, on a bum year they'd have a tendency to explore the fishery to the west, which is not being utilized now, and that goes all the way out to Atka too.
How well understood are those runs, those stocks?
Well, the state doesn't even have any.
I wonder what sort of fishery they could withstand. What's the harvestable surplus on average here? Are we really talking about a fishery, or are we talking about a few thousand fish?
Oh, no.
Some
years there's a lot of fish out.
And my wife was out there. What year was that? We put in 120,000 fish in 10 days.
Mr. Chairman, Peter Scott from Icicle Seafoods hopes to buy salmon for processing in Yakutat from local fishermen who will bring salmon in. His company made quite a study of the number of salmon that they hope to be able to purchase locally. They need to comment on that.
I don't have any indications to live because I didn't anticipate coming from Maine, but we are building quite a substantial plant in Yakutat today, which we set up year round operations on crab and salmon, supposedly from the bottom canning line. And we're very, very interested in the local fishermen. I backed out to the chain that we know from many of the islands, as Carl said, there are many fish out there, so there's enormous ones. The road just as I used
How much prediction work is going on by the department? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
Do we have a situation where the commission could be given discretionary power to issue interim permits when years were projected to be good?
Well, I would think
it
would be. I remember the
year we had Pan Alaska tenders down at Sandpoint buying fish, and I'm sure they ran into on Alaska to process a bunch of that. And do you remember how many boats was up there last year outside of Buddy Burnson? Do you know, Carl? He fished in Fishing Bay last year with the
Well, Steve was fishing out there, Ponky, Terry Fish, and Cal, Amo Verico.
Well, the only one I can think of from Sandpoint was Buddy Burnson. He was out there with his.
I think that was about the only one. Oh, because they had plenty of fish in the shooting area. They had more fish than they could handle.
Well, he sold out there, I imagine, to somebody. But he did put in, I did a rough figure on that, 70,000 or 100,000.
Is that Amo?
No, Buddy Burnson.
Amel told me he was buying summer of
Amel.
Barakoff.
Oh.
Was buying the summer of 78.
That's correct.
But if we can do this through legislation, you know, and make an overlap area, I don't think we'd have any problem getting the bill through the House. Wouldn't be any opposition to it. The only opposition they got now is nobody to give up their fishing rights for a big district like to come on Alaska West, because like Carl said, it runs all the way up to the end of the chain.
When the legislature passed the Act in 73, they reserved the right to amend or modify it any way they wanted to, or the use of the permit. So I think you're certainly within your powers to do it by legislation if you want.
That's inherent anyway.
They just put everybody on notice, so it wouldn't be a breach of faith.
Now, we'll ask it to you, Scott, here. If we could do that and leave it open to the Peninsula fishermen and have an overlap area where on Alaska you can fish. They get a fishing started, fishery started out there. You know, I don't think there'll be that many guys coming up from the Peninsula area. Unless there was complete failure, a big one out there, they would like to drop, you know, I'd be put out of it. But it haven't been that many people going out there in the past 10 years, as far as I know, or longer. And I don't think it would hurt them to just believe that they could go out if they wanted. And if you think we could put a law in like that, I would be all for it. The only problem is the thing is you're going to open it up for 20 people, or it can be opened up for 1,000 people. What they're going to tell us is unconstitutional. Unless we can use the 20 boats or the 20 people would claim they've been fishing up there.
There's certainly a method to do it, either through fishing licenses or barter system. Campsites, or there must be. If you could do it originally, why is it made to change? You may have to change some of the original for this specific deal. I don't know if you can do that.
Well, I don't think the commission ever wants to get away from the gear license or permit requirement. That's just such a major part of the foundation of establishing hardship, especially in an area where you have subsistence and commercial activities that overlap. You want to definitely be able to distinguish between the two.
Akatan is a difficult situation. You have 15 families there with 9 big processing ships out the bay working away. Not one of the families has a permit. Steve McLash is the foreman in Akatan has a permit. Peter Stepton has a permit from fishing False Pass. That's about it. There's quite a few skiff fishermen in that community, but as Carl pointed out, when they cut their salmon, they wouldn't sell them tenders usually, but probably very rarely. I have a list of about 10 or 12 people who are old timers there that have fished from skiffs. I don't think they can show the conventional type of proof that you require now in an existing program. You'd almost have to, if these people are going to fish out of Akatan, you're going to have some sort of skip fisherman criteria, I think. Maybe they'd have to go back to the 50s. I don't think you're going to be able to show very many commercial sales on the part of any of these people in Yucatan. Others read the names of these people. I think Dave might recognize the names. I know Carl will, and Roy Rickey will recognize a few. Charles McGlashan, Tom McGlashan, Luke Shelikoff, John Bereskin Sr., George Bereskin, Jason Stephenson. Jason Stephenson's quite young. Leon Prokopiev, Chris Cherepino, Nick Bereskin, Larry Mensoff, Pete Kudrin, George Kudrin Jr. Most of those people are older people, except for Jacob, who's the mayor of the town. Now, I don't know how you can get any of those people, any of them could be qualified under the type of curious criteria you have, even if you just look at the years when the season was open for salmon in that area, which wasn't in most cases in 1960 or 1970. But I think you can. If you look at what they're doing, you'll find that they're predominantly fishermen, fishing at a very primitive level. What they want to do now is they want to fish for salmon, octopus, bottom fish, and so forth locally. Sell their fish in 10 days.
Well, all the names you read out, I don't know, full-time residents of that. I'd like to get a copy.
Almost be better off just opening it back up again.
Make some copies there.
Letting them create a history.
Well, you know, one thing, if you could open it in such a way that it's very, I hate to have this on record, but so that it's the fishery is really oriented towards people who fish for short periods of time out of their home village, as opposed to coming all the way up to Seattle, spending a lot of time up there and then going back to Seattle. The fishery oriented to people harvesting a limited catch right off of home base, that would work very well, I think. And I think it is that type of fishery. I think the run is developed to be a good steady run, unlike what, not like the 60s. But you don't need very much of an effort to harvest a run. If you work around those criteria, I think you've got something.
Well, you can always establish restricted registration areas. Around Yucatan.
Maybe so.
Make it 30 fathom seine or something like that.
Maybe Cody got a skip.
Vessel size limit.
Yeah.
No, make it like BC. You can use a power drum on the seine, but you can't have an engine in the skip. They still fish that way. Well, is there any more questions? Now, what is the, you want us to, I can, the deadline for bills is already over, but
committee
can put them in, so if somebody could write down the wording what you want in the bill, and we'll try to get one wrapped it up and get it through it. I think we should have John look into it too.
I'd be happy to review it.
That'd be okay with you?
Yeah, I'd be happy to review it. I want to go on record as saying that the commission is generally opposed to this as a matter of precedent.
No, but before I put a bill in, what I'm saying, I would like you to look at it and see if you think it's what we discussed.
Okay, that's fine. I'll do that.
And I don't know if there's any more to come. Anybody else in the room? We got a committee meeting here at 3 o'clock and we got to get set up for a teleconference, so.
Thanks.
You bet. see if it's testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Is it moving?
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't move a whole lot, does it?
No.